Thanks for listening to Grit the Cuz. My name's Trina, and today's episode is brought to you by Simplify Life. Amity Farr started this as a personal project, and then it turned into a mission. She shares how simplifying has brought benefits to her, like having more time, money, less stress. She shares that with you on her blog, and you can also check out her book on Amazon called Simplify Life, The Manual. Connect to the page on Facebook and check out simplifylife.com. In a day and age where we work to have more, a bigger house, more clothes, so much food that we're throwing it away, it can take a lot of grit to realize that we don't actually want that in our lives. The idea of eliminating clutter in our lives is one thing, but what about completely downsizing your entire house to an RV? Well, Rachel did that. We had a conversation about it, so take a listen and see if it's something you might want to explore too. You're doing something that a lot of people kind of maybe daydream about, and that is downsizing. While a lot of us, you know, work towards getting more and more and more, there's also a great deal of the population that wants to do less so they can have more time. Can you kind of explain your journey with that?
Absolutely. We were for sure one of the couples and that were striving for more, bigger paychecks. We moved out of an apartment that we had in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and we purchased what then was considered our dream house. It was a beautiful, gorgeous home. Came in at just under 3,000 square feet. We were up from a lake and had a guest house and a pool. And I mean, we felt so blessed to be able to purchase a home like that, being in our, I guess we were 29, 28 at the time. So just felt fortunate that our first home was our dream home. And we decided that we were going to start a family and this was great. We had this huge house, lots of space, time to fill it, right? And about, let's see, our son was probably a little over a year old. Well, and I guess let me back up, because the journey really started when my son was born. And, you know, you have that tugging of your heartstrings where you're wanting to stay at home and not necessarily wanting to send your new baby to a stranger to spend the majority of his time. And so I ended up turning in my notice at work, which meant our paycheck was cut in half. We still had student loans at the time. So it was a big wake-up call as to what all we were doing. And I never have felt like we've lived just super frivolous. You know, we did try and keep our expenses close to one income, regardless of what point we were in our lives. But something like that, where now you don't have the option necessarily for a second income, was hard. And it took a lot of number crunching and budgets and, you know, trying to figure out exactly how we were going to make this work. So fast forward about a year, and, you know, we're still paying off loans and think we're going to be paying off loans forever. And we realized that the majority of our expenses were going towards our home. We were spending over half of our income, because now we're down to one income. Over half of our income was going towards the home, whether that be mortgage payment or improvements. You know, it was an older home, so it needed some remodeling, and just realized that that's not at all what we wanted out of life. We didn't want to spend our weekends mowing a just shy of an acre lot. We didn't want to spend our weeknights cleaning such a huge house and picking up, because the more space you have, the more stuff you have, and the more time it takes to put things away. So we kind of had this this talk about what we were wanting out of life, and the answer was more time. We wanted more time together as a family. We didn't want my husband to have to, you know, drive 30 minutes into work and 30 minutes home, you know, where he was gone 11 hours a day. He wasn't getting very much time with our son. And then we weren't able to feel like we were saving up anything because everything was going towards the house. So We started looking into traveling physical therapy, which is something that we'd looked at in the past and felt like that this was the right time. And oh my goodness, things could not have lined. I don't know if anyone listening to this doesn't believe in God, but oh my word, there's no way to me that you could hear this story and not believe because of how things were lined up and how the answer was essentially just delivered to us on a platter, that what we were about to do was exactly what he had in store for us. We were able to secure a travel assignment, I think it was 2 or 3, maybe even 3 months in advance, which is unheard of in the traveling community. Most of the time it's, you know, a couple of weeks, maybe you have a month. So that gave us 3 months. We had a job. We knew where that position was going to be. Our first position was in Colorado. And we had, you know, 2.5 months to kind of get things situated. We weren't going to be able to carry the mortgage payment and travel. So we had to rent out the house. We rented it out the first week it was on the market, which, like I said, we were getting our journey delivered to us on a platter. We had a job. Our house had been rented. We decided that if we were going to do this traveling thing, we wanted our then 14-month-old to have his own bed every night, the same bed every night. We didn't want to be trying to move him to different places and be in a different space every couple of months. So, and we also wanted him to have his own room where he could have his own toys and have a place to play. And so we found a travel trailer, a 35-foot travel trailer, bunkhouse. We converted it to be able to accommodate his crib in the back, and then we had our own room at the front end of the trailer. And we essentially realized that a lot of the stuff that we had in this huge 3,000 square foot house was not what we wanted out of life and was not worth taking on the journey. So I think at that point it wasn't so much we kind of figured that we would come back to the house. We would come back to the house, we would come back to the stuff, but what do we need to live for the next year or plus, however long we decide to do this? So I think that was another kind of turning point for us was, okay, well, we need to narrow it down to just what we need to live. You know, we do like to do outside activities and we do want toys for our son and we do need dishes, but do we need 48 plates? Well, probably not. So we had 8 plates and 4 bowls and, you know, our silverware was downsized. Like everything was streamlined because we had to fit it in a camper. It wasn't because we necessarily were trying to downsize our life at the time. So we figured out exactly what we needed for the next year and put a lot of stuff in storage. We did sell the majority of our furniture, except for those sentimental pieces, and kept some, of course, sentimental items. But for the most part, we sold quite a bit and then kept things that for when we get moved back into our big house. It was kind of that mentality, like, well, here's the stuff that we'll keep in storage for when we move back in to our big house. And oh man, I'd say the first 3 months on the road, it was like, this is exactly what we're looking for. And I mean, it was 10 minutes to clean house. Our evenings were spent together as a family going on bike rides. You know, the income that my husband was making was just slightly more than what he was making as a full-time therapist by the time he factored in benefits and paid time off and everything. But we were able to put so much more towards our loan payments. And, so by the end of the year, we were able to have all of our student loans paid off. We had paid off the travel trailer that we were living in. We had to purchase a truck to be able to pull it. So we had payments on that. But we realized that, okay, well, we do want to grow our family. We would like to have another baby. And we would like to set down some roots. Mason was getting at the age where he was, you know, looking forward to friends and being in a neighborhood, but oh man, we were not going back to that big house. And so we listed it, we sold it, bought a house that was the perfect size for us. It's the rooms are small, but who's going to spend time in their bedroom except to sleep? It's got a nice living room because that's how we want to spend our time. It's got a small little backyard, enough to play soccer with our kids, but not so we spend all of our time taking care of it. And, you know, I know that living in an RV is not for everyone, and I'm surprised that it was for us. It's not for everyone, and downsizing isn't necessarily for everyone. I think it's how you want to spend your life's energy. If you want to spend your life's energy to make money, to buy a big house, to have a really nice car, to have, you know, great clothes or fancy toys, then great. I think that is exactly what you should do if that's what makes you happy. But I think for us, and what most people feel that take this type of journey, is that is the opposite of how they want to spend their life's energy. They want to spend it doing and being. And I am still blessed to be able to stay at home with both of our children now. And yeah, I think that there was a little bit of, reservation when we did move back into a house. You feel a little bit of pressure to have a house with the coffee table and a TV and all this, which my mother did buy us a TV for Christmas. But, you know, just what do we want and what do we need? And really making sure that we're taking into account how much we're having to spend at a clinic to be able to, or an office to be able to afford this item, and is this many hours of work to be able to pay for this item worth it? Is that the trade-off that we're willing to make? And so I think it's been helpful. I think it was an awesome decision for us as a family. It was an incredibly blessed opportunity to be able to do something like that with a toddler. And like I said, it taught us a lot about ourselves and about the type of family that we wanted to be and the type of parents we wanted to be to our children. And that's, I guess, kind of the story in a nutshell.
That's exciting. Now, do you think you would have had a completely different perspective if someone had said, you're going to have to do it this way, instead of you easing into it the way you did?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that, because I think that each step that we took kind of made us realize on our own what was important. You know, like I said, when we started into it, it wasn't we're going to do this because we're going to downsize and we're going to live simpler and we're going to be able to spend more time together. You know, that was definitely a part of it, but we thought it was a temporary part of our lives. I think the slow steps that were kind of a huge wake-up call for us that we didn't even realize at the time. But taking each of those steps kind of led us further down the path of being able to spend more time together.
Yeah, taking small steps usually makes it a little bit easier to do. Now, if someone's listening to this and thinking, oh my gosh, I can't just, you know, put my house up for sale and just take cross country, what would you recommend? How can they start to get into that journey to see what works for them?
One box at a time.
Okay.
One box at a time. If you, I think I'm still caught up in doing that. Cause like I mentioned earlier, we put a lot of stuff in storage knowing that we would use it again when we had a house and when we moved back into a big house. And oh man, I would say 85% of that stuff we no longer own. And, cause it's not important. I think when you look around your house, it shouldn't be stressful. You shouldn't feel like there's so much stuff that you have to keep picking up or I think a big clue is when you say, oh man, I need to buy something to get all this stuff organized. I need to get a new bucket or I need to get new bins because I need all of this stuff to be organized. Well, yeah. Do you need the stuff?
Yeah.
No. Do you need the organizational bins or do you need to just get rid of your stuff, you know? And like I said, some people, that's just what they want. They want to have all of this stuff. That makes them happy. But for us, I don't want a bunch of organizational bins. I want the whole thing gone. And I remember when we moved into the house that we're in now, there's this kind of a dead space on the wall where if you have your couch kind of where you feel like your couch should be, it frees up this extra kind of dead space to the left of the couch. And I remember several people that came in made a comment about how, a nice bookshelf would be great here or something would be great here. And I'm thinking, if I put something there, I have to fill it. I just don't want anything there. Yeah. I just want it empty because if something's there, now I got to buy knickknacks to go on it or get rid of the knickknacks, get rid of the books you never read and get rid of the shelf.
And just enjoy the open space.
Yeah, just enjoy the space. Quit dusting it and quit vacuuming around it. And no, just get rid of it or never buy it to begin with.
Well, thank you for sharing your journey. I appreciate it. That's very interesting.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
There you have it. That's Rachel's story. Next time, Amity will talk about her journey of decluttering, how it turned into a passion project. If you want, you can start reading her book to get some tips. It's called Simple Fly Life, The Manual. It's on Amazon. You can learn more on her website, simplefliatlife.com. My name's Trina. Thanks so much for listening. You can learn more anytime at gritbecause.com.